Lord, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Give you all the praise and glory. We honor you for a new day. We say, hallowed be thy glorious name. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you reveal the glory of God, even in us, in Jesus' name, to us and in us. And we pray and declare this morning that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to this simple. And as we look into the perfect law of liberty this morning to enjoy the glory of the Lord, give us an understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The last few days, we've been dealing with the riches of the glory of God and of his mercy. We looked at the glory of God in light of his mercy, his abundant goodness, and all of his compassion, how he shows mercy to whom he will. He has compassion on whom he will. I mean, we've looked at the glory of God in various things. Some of the attributes of God revealed even in his creation. The glory of God. Even in salvation, it's the glory of God. Everything. We've talked about so many things. You got to go back and listen to the replays. I want to talk more about the more traditional and more conventional, you know, thinking when people think of the glory of God, you know, so like the various and dramatic appearances of God, you know, in his glory, in his splendor, in the pillar of fire, in all the radiance of the Lord, you know, that's the more traditional way of thinking when people think about the glory of God, you know, so, let's talk about that. Praise the Lord. I mean, throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and the Lord would reveal himself at multiple times in different things. The first, you know, apart from what we saw, the way it was described in Genesis, you know, we saw, we heard that the Spirit of God moved over the deep and began to bring things out of nothing and bring things, you know, out from his mind. We didn't really see the description of the glory of God per se, other than just see his handiwork. And, but as early as Exodus, you know, these conventional appearances of the Lord in the glory, we begin to see that. And let's look at some of them. In Exodus chapter 3, we see an encounter, between Moses and the pillar of fire. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. And when he looked, behold, the bush was burning, but the bush was not consumed. So that was the first indication that we saw of this, what we now call, you know, the glory of the Lord, you know, in the fire and so forth. He appeared like that. And people will be seeing the glory of the Lord in the appearances, you know, it's being caught even on camera. The glory of the Lord, the beauty, the radiance. The Lord is glorious in that realm. Let's look at all the places where he showed that glory and why. You know, in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, we see that after the crossing of the Red Sea and all of that, you know, Miriam and the rest of them are singing, even Moses also singing, saying, well, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Exodus 15 and 11. And so they began to, you know, think about the glory of the Lord. They saw all that he did, how he wasted, you know, Egypt completely and destroyed them in the Red Sea. And they remembered also some of the signs and wonders, in the land of Egypt. And they talked about glorious in holiness and doing wonders and so forth. Well, let's look at some more appearances. That was just the people acknowledging his glory. Exodus chapter 24. You know, Moses went up into the mountain. It was covered. There was a cloud that covered the mountain. That's verse 15. Now it said, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And so, you know, in this case, it looks as if, you know, the glory of the Lord can be described as a cloud, you know, and sometimes, you know, it is described as a cloud in many places, you know, in the scriptures. Yes, we see the glory of God being described as though it were a cloud. What does that mean? Well, it means the presence is so thick that you can almost see it like a cloud. And that's, you know, that's what it is. You know, when you're looking at it, it looks like it's a cloud of glory and the presence of the Lord. And at various times, the Lord would show this appearance to people. Praise God. Moses went up in the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. The glory of the Lord was seen. Hallelujah. And then verse 17 says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord. See, this is the more conventional way that people think of the glory of God. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain and the eyes of the children of Israel. You know, so that was like the devouring fire. That's the way they saw it. Praise the Lord. And the many other places that he appeared, even the book of Exodus, continued to appear to them. Exodus chapter 33. We see that in verses 9 and 10, it says that came to pass that when Moses had entered into tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. You know, and the Lord spoke with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud, you know, standing at the door of the tabernacle, and all the people rose and worshiped. So they saw the cloud, they saw the fire, and many places, you know, this was like the appearance of the glory of God. Of course, you've seen, we started out, I think on day one, of talking about Moses asking the Lord to show him the glory of the Lord. You know, Exodus 33 says, show me thy glory, Lord. He prayed in verse 18. The Lord said, I'll make all my, in answer to that prayer, he said, my goodness. You know, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So that was a rather unconventional way of thinking of the glory of God. Yeah, but today, and we've talked about the mercy of the Lord throughout this series. Today we want to talk about how the Lord descended, the cloud and the fire and so forth. Well, Exodus 34, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children, third and fourth generations. We talked about the glory of God in that way. And let's look at some more appearances of the Lord. Exodus 40. The cloud in verse 34 covered the tabernacle. Ah, my goodness. You know, this cloudy appearance of the Lord from time to time. Well, you know, people experienced it. And I don't know why they didn't want more of the Lord, but they chose to run away from God. It's actually very sad. You know, people will run away from the Lord like that. You know. The cloud, told in verse 34, Exodus 40. The cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You know, so in this case, it was like just that thickness that people could actually see it. You know, people actually saw this. And Moses was not able to enter even into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode therein. It was so thick, even Moses couldn't go inside. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And I said that the second time. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, and their children went forward in all their journey. You know, but if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not at all that day until it was taken up. And so it seemed as if that cloud, you know, was something that God put there to lead them. When the cloud hovered over the tabernacle, it was an indication for them to stay put. And when it was lifted up and moved forward, then they followed. Isn't that amazing? You know, just to see the glory of God in that respect, the glory of God actually leading the people. He said, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was there by night in the sight of all. It wasn't just Moses that saw it, the house of, sight of all the house of Israel, you know, throughout all their journeys, they saw it. And it was there. And that glory cloud went before the children of Israel like that, led them. You know, in the night, it was glowing. They could see it. It glowed. It was probably glowing in the day too. But, you know, because of the sun and so forth, it just looked like a cloud. In the night, it just looked like fire. The glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Now, these are some of the more traditional ways of thinking about the glory of the Lord. But it's beautiful. If you can experience that in a congregation one day, that would be great. You know, you're there, the glory of God comes in. And not just camera. We know it's been captured on camera, but people can actually see. Occasionally, some people will see, but not everybody. But in the case of these children of Israel, they all say in the sight of all of the house of Israel. So it wasn't just one person say, I saw this, and the other person say, no, they all saw the glory of God. And it was amazing. And there are sometimes also that the Lord declared about his glory and the intention of the Lord, as it is written in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 21. The Lord declared it. You know, we read this the other day also in Habakkuk, you know, and here's what the Lord declared. The Lord said, you know, Moses was asking the Lord to pardon and so forth. You know, well, the Lord said, well, I'll pardon, I'll have your mercy, and I'll forgive them and so forth. And then the Lord said, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, that's all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. You know, if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen, you know, because the Lord said so. Isaiah said the same thing. The earth shall be filled with the glory of God. He said it. We read it yesterday. And so the Lord himself has prophesied it. Well, actually, the Lord has declared it. God doesn't need to prophesy anything. Just declare it the way it is. He declared that his glory fill the earth. The earth will be filled with my glory, saith the Lord. Beautiful declaration. In the book of Deuteronomy, I'm just going through these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 5, you know, and verse 24. Moses was recounting, you know, their experience with the Lord. And he said, you know, surely the Lord has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. They did that. But at times we know that, you know, they really didn't want any part of God. You know, they wanted to get away, you know, from, you know, the, from the glory of God. And I've often wondered, you know, why in the world would anybody want to run away from the glory of God? Well, maybe their sin nature. You know, but I thought people would run into the glory. Yeah. I mean, it's something that, you know, people will, I mean, I think somebody that really hungering and thirsting after God would want to see and experience the glory of God rather than run away from it. But this, the children of Israel, Bible called them stiff-necked. They didn't want any part of the glory of God for the most part. But yet, God showed them his glory, you know. Now, what about us if we're actually seeking for that glory? If God showed it to those who didn't really want it, what about those of us who really want it? Did not Jesus say that, you know, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, you know, after the things of God, that we shall be filled with it? Praise the Lord. The name of the Lord is glorious. Even the angels of the Lord, sometimes when the Lord would send the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, they would do some drama. Sometimes there was something that, you know, some of them did a drama like that, you know. In the book of Judges chapter 13, you know, there was an angel of the Lord that came and visited Manoah and, you know, his wife. And in verse 20, we see how he did some drama. He moved and did glorious things in the midst of the flame. So let's look at it. It was the glory of God too. Praise God. You know, and it says, it came to pass, you know, when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, you know, I mean, they, you know, they built an altar and tried to do something for the Lord there, you know, and this, the angel of the Lord were told, you know, ascended the flame of the fire. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Just imagine it. See him like spinning like that in the midst of the fire like that and just going, you know, my goodness. And they looked up, and as he went up, they fell their faces to the ground. You know, the angel of the Lord demonstrating even in the fire. My goodness. You can see the fiery expressions of the Lord. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, after the building of the temple and the dedication prayer and so forth that Solomon made to the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 8. You know, we read in verses 10 and 11, it came to pass that when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. You know, it so filled the house, it was so thick, you know, they could not even stand to minister. You know, I'd love to see that more in the house of the Lord, you know, that the place is so thick with the presence of God that the preacher, the pastor, whomsoever, couldn't even stand. They could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now, in this one place, like some of the other places we've read, the glory of the Lord is typified as a cloud. It's a cloud, it's thick. And, the, you know, you could even feel it, you know. It was so thick, they couldn't even get through it. Praise the Lord. Now, this is, it's a beautiful, beautiful way. And I'm praying that we will, you know, experience, you know, some of these things again. It's the glory of God. You know, praise the Lord. And, in David's prayer and some other people's prayer, they love to acknowledge the glory of God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. 1 Chronicles 29:10-11, pray. That is the greatness of God, the power and the glory. You know, victory, majesty, and all that. For all that is in the heaven, the earth is thine. You know, thou art exalted as head above all. You know, he went on and said, now therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You know, similar thing that we read in the in Kings, verses 1 to 3. When Solomon had finished praying, it happened that the fire of the Lord, came down. So in this place, we're seeing it as fire. Praise God. We've seen it as a cloud. Well, let's look at it as fire also. You know, the fire of the Lord came down and consumed the burnt offering, you know, and everything and so forth, you know, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So a combination in this case of the fire and the glory, and I talk of the glory, it's usually the cloud that they were talking about, you know, glory of the Lord, the fire, the glory of the Lord, you know, and the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And so on and so forth, you know, so same thing as, you know, what we read in the book of Kings. But look at what they said, you know, how they blessed the Lord. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord had been upon the house, it came to pass that they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground, even upon the pavement, and they worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, what was it they said? For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You know, that's how they bless the Lord. And I was saying the other day, never leave out the mercy of the Lord. When we say the Lord is good, today people say the Lord is good all the time. All the time. The Lord is good. But we leave out the mercy of the Lord endure forever. That's how they said it, you know, in those days. Don't forget to say that because it's all about his mercy. We talked about that the first two lessons in this series. Mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Praise the Lord. And that's something, you know, that should rejoice our heart, make our heart glad. Now, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 9, where again, you know, they told the people to bless the Lord. You know, it's bless the Lord. You want to bless the Lord? Well, you know, say the Lord is good and say that his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless his glorious name. Now, say the Levites, you know, Jeshua and Kadmiel and Bani and Hashbaniah and, you know, Sherebiah and all these people, you know, they said, well, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever, you know, and ever. And what did they say? They say, well, blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted, you know, above all blessing and praise. His name is even exalted. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone, and thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all the things therein, the seas, and that which is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God which did choose Abraham. And they begin to bless the name of the Lord, you know, and to talk about his glory. He showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and you did all these things and so forth. And you created, led your people through the wilderness. They just blessed and praised the name of the Lord. And they always talked about his glory. You know, when you came down upon Mount Sinai, they talked about the glory of the Lord there. Praise the Lord. And so it's a good thing. It's a marvelous thing when we experience his presence. Let's read some more. Come back now to the book of Psalms. So many places in the book of Psalms where it talks about the glory of the Lord. Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Well, and what else? Well, thou hast set your glory above the heavens. Glory to God. Glory of God is above even the heavens. When you're looking, you know, see all the clouds and everything like that. You know, it's kind of like a depiction of the glory of God. And on a clear day, when there's no clouds, you can go out in the night, you can see, you know, the firmament declaring his handiwork. Praise the Lord. the beauties and the glory of God. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? And the firmament shows his handiwork. Praise the Lord. You know, and so you want to look at the glory of God through his creation, go out and stare up in the heavens, especially at night. You can see wonders. Get a strong telescope and see the wonders of the Lord. And we talked about yesterday, we read in Psalm 24, how that he is called the King of Glory. Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Psalm 24 and verses 7 to 8. And be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. So the very, his very kingdom is called glory here. And who is the King of Glory? In other words, you know, the name of his kingdom is glory. You know, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is full of glory. Throughout the Psalms, in Psalm 29 and verse 3, he acknowledges the glory of God. Even the voice of the Lord thunders and talks about him being a God of glory. Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Psalm 29 and verse 3. The God of glory thundereth. It's called the God of glory. And the voice, even his voice carries his majesty and so on. In this place, it's talking about the voice of the Lord, you know, demonstrating his awesome glory and awesome power. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalm 57, verse 15, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Praise God. The glory of the Lord. You know, and David said, look, I've seen you in the sanctuary and I want to see you again. I want to see your power and your glory. Even as I've seen it before. Psalm 63 and verse 2. I pray that that will be the yearning, you know, of our hearts, you know, after we go through all of this. You know, he said, you know, my soul, say, my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, for my flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land, even where there is no water, it's looking for that refreshing from the power and the glory of God. See Psalm 63. To see thy power and thy glory, even as I've seen it in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Therefore will my lips even bless thee. And I will bless thee while I live. I'll be satisfied, you know, with your goodness and so on. So he's desiring even to see the glory of God. In the sanctuary, he said, praise the Lord. Well, may we see and experience the glory of God in our lives. Psalm 72 and verse 19. Blessed be the glorious name of the Lord forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen, he said. That's a good prayer. And I pray that the whole earth and especially our lives be filled with the glory of God. And if you go back to, you know, the last two lessons, the glory of God revealed in even all his wonders and his miracles and the different things he does for us, even eternal life is the glory of God. It emanates from the glory of God and has given us a portion of that. And inside of us, that portion that he has given us, he will bring forth eternal life. Christ is called the hope of glory when he is inside of us. And so everything about the Lord, yes, glory, demonstrating his glory in our lives. Praise God. You know, he said, Lord, do these things for the glory of your name and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. See, hallelujah. Psalm 79 and verse 9. even salvation, as we talked about the other day, you know, that the Lord provides for us, is out of his glory. Let's read that again. Psalm 79 and verse 9. Help us, O our God of salvation, the God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. You know, we've talked about making it God's fight. If you turn that prayer and make it about God getting the glory, we've seen people that did that. Hezekiah did that, and other people did it. You know, deliver us, purge us from our sins for your great name's sake, even forgiveness of sins, salvation, and all of this coming out of God for the glory of his name. For why should the heathen say, where is their God? So let it be about God getting the glory when you make your prayers unto the Lord. And you know, it's more about the glory of the Lord. The Lord reigneth, he said. Praise God. He's clothed with majesty. Now, this is another way of thinking of the presence. Yesterday I said, you know, what comes to mind when you think, you know, of the glory of the Lord? And people began to write many things. You know, the Lord is clothed with majesty. Praise the Lord. Majesty. And just think of it and experience it even in your mind's eye. The beauty of the Lord and his glory. Today we're just exalting him because he's worthy of our praise. The Lord reigneth, he's clothed with majesty, he's clothed himself with strength, guarded himself, and so forth. So the majesty of the glory of the Lord, if you can visualize it in your mind, and then you can worship him for it. It's beautiful. Praise the Lord. And Psalm 102, verse 16. He has a promise of God's glory coming in the establishing of the people of God. He said, you know, the Lord, well, he shall build up Zion. He will even appear in his glory. Praise God. Well, the time to favor Zion is now. And it is time for the Lord to appear in his glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. People will see it, you know. And Zion, well, talk about physical Zion, but also talk about, you know, spiritual Zion. We know that the Bible says that, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, we can now be called that heavenly Zion. Yeah, not just the physical Zion, which was the city of David, you know, but we can now be called the people of God, the heavenly Zion. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, he said. That's right. Unto an innumerable company of angels, Hebrews 12:22. And to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, they are all a part of Zion now, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirit of just men made perfect, and so on and so forth. So, you know, when he talks about building up Zion, I will build my church. You can put the church of the living God in parallel with that Zion. The promises of God to Zion also belong to the church. When he shall build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Praise the Lord. You know, and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, praise the Lord. You are very great. Psalm 104 verse 1. You are clothed with majesty and honor. Again, that's the glory of the Lord. You know, clothed, and let the glory of the Lord endure forever. He says in Psalm 104 verse 31, let the glory of the Lord endure forever, that we may rejoice in his works. Praise the Lord. You know, the name of the Lord, the work of the Lord is filled with honor and glory. Psalm 111 and verse 3. Throughout the Psalms, David making mention of the glory of the Lord, his honor and his majesty. Praise the Lord. And we also must enjoy this glory. It is time for the Lord to show us, because his work is honorable, his work is glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He's made his wonderful works, you know, to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. On and on and on. And all of these things are his glory. We'll talk about that in lesson one. His compassion, his glory, the abundance of his goodness and his mercies. Those are all part of his glory. Praise the Lord. Psalm 138 and verse 5. Look at all the places where David spoke about the glory of the Lord. Psalm 138 and verse 5. You know, he said, well, sing of the ways of the Lord. Well, great is the glory of the Lord. And out of his glory also, he makes him to come down. Even though the Lord is high and higher than the highest and higher than the heavens, you know, yet he revealed himself to the lowly. But the proud, he knoweth afar off. It is the glory of God to visit the humble. It is the glory of God to also resist the proud. It's the glory of God. All of that is the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about a few more places in the Psalms. Say, I will meditate, Lord, on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Psalm 145 and verse 5. Let's meditate. You know, if you are meditating and thinking about it, it might just show you something. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of all thy wondrous works. You know, as you begin to speak of it, just like we are doing here, you know, utter the memory of his great goodness, sing of his righteousness. The more you think about it, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, and so on. Well, the more you talk about it, the more you think about it, the Lord might just show you some things. Praise the Lord. The book of Isaiah, chapter 4 and verse 5, here is a promise that the Lord spoke about this glory of God in the physical form of the cloud and the pillar of fire resting upon your life and your tabernacles, every one of us, and even in our assemblies. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5. And the Lord shall create, glory to God, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Well, that's your homes. You know, you create it. Praise God. And that's even upon you too. What will he create? Well, he will create the glory of God, and he will make it, you know, for a defense. Hallelujah. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day. Glory to God. That's a thick presence of God. The shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all, you know, all of you, God will put his glory upon all of us for a defense. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we look forward to experiencing this glory. The pillar of fire returning at the midnight hour to guide elective Israel. Well, and us, the elective church also. Praise the Lord. Now, God of glory has said it, and he will do it. But we must be yearning for it. Remember, we talked about the, you know, what the seraphims, you know, what they were doing, crying, holy, holy unto the Lord, and how Isaiah experienced the glory. You know, he saw something. You know, he said, you know, I saw the Lord, you know, high and lifted up. I mean, he experienced visions of glory. It was physical. He saw it. God peeled back the covering from his eyes. And if the Lord will peel back the covering from our eyes and we look, we might actually see something. And he saw the seraphims, he saw them crying, holy, holy, holy. But they also looked into the realm of the spirit. And they said, the earth is full of the glory of God in the realm of the spirit. And that's what we must experience, the fullness of the glory of God in our lives. Praise God. Isaiah experienced that when he did, it revealed to him areas of his life that needed branding from the Holy Spirit. He said, well, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. My tongue, you know, needs to be corrected and fixed. You know, James talks about, you know, who can tame that tongue? Well, the Holy Ghost can. And there was a branding. I call it, you know, the Holy Spirit branding. That's why the Lord, you know, when people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he gives them, you know, another tongue, speaking tongues and stuff like that. Branded that tongue for Isaiah. So to coals of fire, laid it upon his tongue. Praise the Lord. And it caused, you know, incredible things to happen. He became a man of the word of God. He could speak like that. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Isaiah 40. He said, you know, everybody will see it together. Well, it was revealed in Christ. It will be revealed again in the sons of God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, you know, and verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. And we're looking forward to the revelation of the glory of the Lord. Worldwide, globally, and let it begin with me. Let the Lord reveal his glory in me. Praise God. Paul said, look, when he pleased the Father to reveal his Son in me, well, when he pleased him to reveal his glory in us, when he shall build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. And this glory is what will lead us at the end of time. Praise God. It's going to lead us. Ah, the Lord said in Isaiah 42 verse 8. We referred to this the other day. I am the Lord. And that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. But he did give the glory to us finally. Jesus made sure of that. You know, the Father gave him permission to do it. He said, these things I have received as a commandment from my Father. Yeah, I give eternal life to those that come unto me. Well, that's the glory of God. This is the glory that I had with you from the beginning. In him was that life. Hallelujah. And that life was the light of men. And the Lord, he gave us that glory. We saw that in John chapter 17. How that the Lord reversed that saying of, thy glory I will not share with another. And he said, well, the glory that I had with you from the beginning, I have also given to them. Praise the Lord. And Jesus got it, and he shared it with us. Isn't that beautiful? Are you not heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, saith the Lord? Well, that's what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19. So shall the people fear the name of the Lord from the west and from the rising his glory, from the rising of the sun. The glory of the Lord is what causes and puts a defeat on the enemy. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, well, the glory of the Lord is going to put, you know, the beat down on him. The glory of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Experience that glory and get the victory. Arise and shine. Isaiah 60. Verses 1 and 2. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. And even though gross darkness will cover the world and deep darkness, the people, the Lord will be over you and his glory shall be seen upon you. That's right. That's a promise from the Lord. And at the end of it all, finally, you know, it's not going to be the sun that will give you, you know, brightness for day. It's not going to be the moon that will give you light in the night. Well, it's going to be the glory of the Lord. Isaiah, you know, chapter 60, verses 19 to 20. It talks about the glory of the Lord returning, you know, in its fullness upon his people. He will do away with the sun and the moon. We're not going to need that. We're going to have the glory of God himself. Praise God. The glory of the Lord. He said, the sun shall no more be your light by day, neither the brightness of the moon to give you light by night. No. You know, when the Lord returns in to build up Zion to be the glory thereof, well, it will be the Lord himself that will be unto us an everlasting light. And the God of heaven himself will be our glory. Thank you, Jesus. And this is a promise. Praise God. And we're looking forward to it. You say, what is this all about? Well, it's something that's supposed to excite you. But you know the thing that excites people today? This kind of thing doesn't excite people. What excites people is when they're going to get their next car, and their next house, and their next $1 million, and their next job, and their next thing. Now, physical things, you know, that we can acquire upon the earth is what excites people. You know, the glory of God doesn't excite people. It's a shame, you know. But these things that excite people, you can get even without being in a kingdom. Jesus said to Nebuchadnezzar, in the book of, you know, John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3. This Nicodemus man that came to Jesus by night. Jesus said unto him, look, there are many things, you know, that you can get, but until you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so, if being born again is the entrance to the kingdom, well, all these things that our hearts are looking after, you know, if you are not born again, you can't even enter the kingdom. So the things that should excite us should not be things outside the kingdom. Because people can get all these things. They can get the new car, they can get a new house, they can get all of these things without being in the kingdom. But until you are born again, you cannot enter that kingdom. So the things that should excite us are the things that be found in the kingdom, such as the glory of God, such as what we're talking about today. Praise the Lord. That's where the excitement should be at, you know. Now, the Lord promises that we are going to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord God, and you'll be a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Glory to God. Now, there was a prophet, Ezekiel. I mean, he saw the glory of the Lord rising up and down, like, you know, appearance of fire and wheel within a wheel. You know, experienced a lot of things. Number of dramatic appearances of the Lord. Let's look at some of it. In chapter 1, you know, and, you know, a few other chapters, he saw the glory of the Lord. In verses 26, this is Ezekiel now, to 28. He said, look, you know, and he was describing what he saw. Now remember, this today's lesson is about the physical and glorious appearances of the Lord, which is the more conventional way that people think about the glory of the Lord. So, you know, look at what the Lord did in the Bible and how he showed his presence and his glory to others, you know. And he says, look, above the firmament, you know, was like a likeness of a throne, and as the appearance of a sapphire throne. And the likeness of the throne was the likeness and appearance of man. They talked about it. And I saw as the amber, color of amber, the appearance all around it, you know, from his loins down, the appearance there was as the appearance of fire. You know, this is Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 26 and down. He had a, you know, brightness round about it. He saw the cloud. He said, you know, the appearance of the bow, you know, around him was brightness, cloud, and so forth. You know, and he saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. You know, he's describing, in his own words, you know, the appearance, this semblance of the glory of God was like this fire and all these things that he saw. Was called it the glory of God. He fell upon his face and saw this glory. He worshipped. Praise the Lord. And he described, you know, so he said, I saw the glory of the God of Israel was there. It was like a vision. And I saw him, even with my own eyes. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 4. He said, I saw the glory of the God of Israel. And it was like I was in a vision. And I saw him. I saw it with my eyes. You know, praise the Lord. I even looked, and in another part of the vision in Ezekiel chapter 9, he said, look, I saw the glory of the God of Israel, verse 3, was gone up, like from the cherub and so forth. And as he looked, you know, all of these things, the appearance, the enfolding of the fire and different things that he was seeing, he called it the glory of God. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 10, he described some more of the glory of God and the presence of the Lord and all the things that he saw. And, you might call it the dramatic appearances of our God. And I looked and behold, in the firmament that was above, you know, I saw the head of the cherubims. And above them, there appeared the likeness of a sapphire stone and the appearance of a likeness of a throne. So he's looking. He's going to see some action around the throne of God now, you know, and he saw the wheels, you know, cherubim and different things. And he began to see the brightness of the glory of God. He said, then the glory of the Lord, this is verse 4. So the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood on the threshold. I mean, actually seeing this thing like a cloud and the fire was inside the cloud. Filled with the cloud, the court was a brightness of the Lord's glory. And he saw all of these things happening. He described it too as he saw the glory of God. Physically, he saw it. The appearance, you know, the appearances of fire and cloud and, you know, and so forth. And all these things happening. And they were in motion. They were moving. The cherubims were moving and there was all kinds of things that were happening, but he was describing it as fire and the glory of the Lord. Praise God. And so the way that people used to see and experience the glory of God, let's believe the Lord that we will experience the same as well. Praise the Lord. And we're going to come into, I want to get quickly to what Jesus would have to say about this himself. You know, I'm just reading through all these things in the Old Testament, and finally we'll come to what Jesus had to say about it. You know, all the things that he saw, you know, the earth was shining with the glory of God. He said, look, in Ezekiel 43, I saw the voice of the Lord was like the sound of many waters. So, you know, and he said the earth was shining with the glory of God. Now, these are visions that they saw. Well, it's going to come. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. It is coming. And we are believing God. And God has a role for us to pray too. You know, when God says something is going to happen, then he will inspire some people to begin to pray for it to happen. We saw that in the story of Daniel. He read by the book, you know, of Jeremiah and all these people understood that 70 years will be accomplished, the captivity of Jerusalem and so forth. And, you know, and when he was about the year 68 and a half, he began to pray. He said, Lord, this thing you said, you know, and he began to pray. And he began to pray. See, that's how things work in the kingdom. First, God says, it is time. Then when he says it's time, he inspires the heart of some people, you know, to recognize that it is time. And then they begin to pray, you know. There was a man, even in the days of Jesus, You know, his name was called Simeon. The Lord had told him that the glory of God was coming. The salvation of the Lord was coming. And he began to pray about it. He was in the temple every day. He said, the Holy Spirit told me that I will not die until I see the Christ. And so he was in that temple praying every day for the coming of the Lord. And one day, Mary and Joseph brought the child into the temple. And he looked. The Holy Spirit said, that's it, right there. Pick up the child. I said, now, Lord, this is what I've been praying for. What I'm praying for has come to pass. Now let thy servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. He's been praying for it. That's how you see it. You'll be praying for the thing that God said will be coming. And that's how you get to experience it. He was praying for it. And finally, he did experience it. Praise the Lord. Well, let me quickly move on to what the Lord, you know, had to say about the glory of God, you know. And he called it, Jesus called it the presence of the Lord, the abiding presence. That's how he called it. That's how he characterized it. And what was the way he said it? He said, well, he talked about loving the Lord. You know, if you love the Lord, well, that's how you're going to get the glory of God into your life. So let's look at some of his sayings, Jesus himself, in John. And now, you know, before I get there, you know that at one time Jesus, the glory and presence of God, the light and the glory of God in him was revealed in Matthew chapter 17. When one day he took Peter, James, and John, and he went up, you know, to the mountain. And there appeared with them, we're told, Moses and Elijah, you know. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was as white as light. Now, this is the, again, a physical appearance of the glory of God. This glory that was couched in that physical human body of the Christ. The body has thou prepared for me. He let it out. And they saw the beauty. They saw the glory. It was marvelous in their eyes. And even Peter said, well, you know, let's just stay here. But Jesus said, no, we got a job to do still. Let's go. You know, so they saw the glory of God like that. But I want to get to this one quickly. Let's talk about, you know, how Jesus described something amazing, for us. And, this is a different way in which he couched, you know, how we will experience the glory of God. I want to talk about that. He said, look, he that hath my commandments, John chapter 14 and verse 21, you know, he it is that loveth me. Now, so if you say you love God, you know, and you have his commandments and you don't keep them, remember, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, not just have the commandments, but you keep them, he it is that loveth me. And if a man love me, well, shall be loved of my Father. And I also, I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. What is this manifestation? What is it about? You know, this is called the revealed presence of the Lord. There's a difference between the universal presence of the Lord, which is everywhere. I mean, Jehovah Shammah, we call him that. The Lord is everywhere. And the psalmist said in Psalm 139, even you go to hell, everywhere he's there. Well, that's his universal presence. You know, but the revealed presence of the Lord, that's what Jesus is talking about there. The glory of God revealing, he's unveiling his splendor to you. So I will manifest myself to you. That's the one that the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, he said, you know, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Woo-hoo. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's called the path of life. That's how he called it. In Psalm 16, and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. What's that path? Well, in his presence, he said, is fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures evermore. The presence of God is fullness of joy. His presence is everywhere. Why then does not everybody have the fullness of joy? If God's presence is everywhere, and in his presence is fullness of joy, then everybody should have fullness of joy. That's not the case. That's far from the case. This presence that he's talking about here that brings fullness of joy, this is what Jesus is talking about in John 14. This is not the universal presence. This is the manifested presence of the Lord. That's what brings fullness of joy. You know, not just the universal presence. You know, God is everywhere. And people are still crazy doing their sins. They don't have joy. That's not that. But when you experience the manifested glory and presence of God, that's where the fullness of joy is. And you can only experience that, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me, well, he's going to experience something that other people will not experience. Now, this is a differentiated experience. This is not, people say, well, there's no respect of persons with God. Well, that's what you think. You know, God is reciprocal. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. The person that's not seeking the Lord with all their heart, you know, they may not experience what the one that seeks him with all their heart will experience. Because God, you know, he demonstrates reciprocity, you know, in the relationship that we have with him. If you love me, then keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, then I will manifest myself unto you. Glory to God. Furthermore, in that same John chapter 14, one of the disciples asked him, you know, this was not, Judas Iscariot, but another one, asked him, he said, well, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus explained it furthermore. He said, look, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And again, I say, this is a different kind of love. This is not John 3:16 love. In John 3:16 love, God loved the whole world. And because of that love, he gave the world Jesus. That's it. You know. But this is a differentiated kind of love, which only comes because somebody loves the Lord. Not because the Lord loves them. Lord loves everybody. Similar to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. All things work together for good, not to them whom God loves, because God loves everybody, but to them who love the Lord. That's right. So in this place, Jesus is talking about those who love the Lord. When you love the Lord, he said, well, those are the people that qualify for this kind of experience that I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. And this is the experience that Jesus said you will experience. My Father will love you and we will come unto you and make our abode with that person. Now, this is not for the whole world. I'm going to come and tabernacle. That's right. Tabernacle in that person that loves me and keeps my word. This is different from the Lord be with you. This is the Lord tabernacling his presence in you because you keep his word. Now, this is something that we must search for and long for in our hearts. He that loves me not, does not keep my sayings. You know, say what? But the word I'm telling you is not just mine. It's from my Father. So if you love me, Father will love you too. And you're going to experience something that people who don't love me like that will not experience. Praise the Lord. It's called the manifested presence, the manifested glory of God. May we have the grace to keep his word, keep his commandments, so that we can experience that. Praise the Lord. Furthermore, Jesus, in another chapter where he was talking to the Jews and everything, you know, he was talking in John chapter 8, said many things, among which also he said, if man keep my saying, verse 51 of John 18, well, this is the one that loves him, keeps his commandment. Jesus is saying the same thing here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You say, well, now, come on now. Even the Jews, everybody said, come on now. You know, Abraham, the prophets, all these people are dead. They kept your saying. You know, why? Who do you make yourself? You know, I mean, they kept the saying of God. They didn't know who Jesus was, you know. I mean, let me correct that. He said, well, they just said, well, all these people, you know, he said, if a man keep my saying, will not taste that. But what about Abraham? What about, you know, all these prophets that died? Are you greater than Abraham? Are you greater than all these prophets? I mean, who makest thou thyself? He said, you keep my saying. And Jesus told him, look, I don't honor myself. You know, if I honor myself, that's nothing. And that's a lesson we should learn. When we honor ourselves, we say it's nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say is your God. But you don't know him like I do, you know, because you've not known him. But I know him. And if I shall say that I don't know him, I'll be a liar like the rest of you. But I do know him, you know. And your father, Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. Because I'm saying, well, you know, are you greater than Abraham? I said, look, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. He said, now we know for sure that you are crazy. You're not even 50 years old. You're in your 30s. How could you possibly have seen Abraham? And he's going to drop a bombshell on them now. This is the one that made them to kill him finally. You know, because he's now saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was. And he's going to use that same voice now. I spoke to Moses in the bush. I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Woo-hoo. Now they took up stones. They're going to kill him now because you can't. That is the greatest height of blasphemy, they thought, for you to even use that name of I am. Well, that's who he was. A very living God couched in human flesh. I didn't understand it, you know. And but he said all of that to prove a point. If you love me, you will never see death. You keep my words. Well, all these people that have died, did they not keep his word? Well, there is something beyond physical death that he was talking about here. But even possibly physical death. It is possible there are some people that may not see physical death. But anyone that truly loves the Lord and keeps his word is moved from death unto life. I'm looking at the time here, and we're way past time. So I'm going to wrap this thing up here. And I'm going to say this, that what the essence of this lesson and all these things that we're talking about is for us to hunger and thirst for the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is to be revealed unto us. God has called us to inherit this glory according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. God says, walk worthy of the Lord because he has called you to inherit his own kingdom and his glory. That's right. And that's what God has called us to do. Now, this Jesus was the brightness of God's glory, according to Hebrews 1 and verse 3. The brightness of the glory of God was encapsulated inside Jesus. The express image of God's person was in the very Christ. And he has the power carry the fullness of the Godhead bodily, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And then he also, he said, look, God, it pleased the Father that inside Christ should all fullness dwell. You can't find anything else after Christ. People are looking for something beyond Christ. They will never get it, because he has pleased the Father, according to Colossians 1:19, inside Christ should all fullness dwell. Now, all of the glory and all of the fullness and everything that Jesus had, well, according to Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, this power, this kingdom that my Father gave to me, I have appointed unto you as well. I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed you. In this kingdom, it's called glory. Glory to God. It's a king of glory. And he said, finally, in John chapter 17, praying this prayer, powerful prayer. Let me see if I can, wrap up by reading some of this prayer to us. Powerful prayer that Jesus prayed, and you can read all about that prayer, the whole chapter of John 17. You can read it, but I'm just going to read a portion to us. Praise the Lord. And the glory of God, Jesus was talking about it here. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thyself, that thy Son also, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Even as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. And that's the glory of God. He can give it to those whom you have given him. And this is the eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. John wrote about that also in 1 John chapter 5:20. That's the eternal life, to know the Christ. He said, the only true God. Now, I have glorified thee upon the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. Now, that glory couched it. He gave everything up. He became, took upon him the form of a servant, as if he was nobody. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him also in Philippians chapter 2. We saw that he had everything. He said, the glory I had with you at the beginning, let me re-enter that glory. Hallelujah. And he said, look, I've manifested your name to the men that you have given me and so forth. They're yours, they were, but you gave them to me, and they have kept thy word, and so on and so forth. And then he said, well, they were yours. You gave them to me, and I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus was not praying for the world. If you want to pray for the world, that's up to you. But Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them whom you have given to him. And there are people in the world that God has given to Christ. They are not come yet, but they are coming. Jesus said, other sheep I have, they are coming. But Jesus doesn't care about the world's systems, even the beauty of the world. One time they showed Jesus all these things, said, look, all these things, they shall fall down. There shall not be one stone left upon another. He doesn't care about that. But he cares about the souls. He doesn't care about the world systems. But he cares about the souls of men. And finally, he said in verse 22, he said, look, I've given them your word, and I've sanctified them through thy truth. And for their sakes, I also sanctify myself. And I'm not praying for only these ones, but I'm praying for everyone who eventually will hear about me through their word. So that's all his prayer. And he goes out and said, look, I have, my joy be in them and so forth. I prayed, and the glory which thou gavest me, verse 22, this glory, that I had with you from the beginning, I've also given to them. Ah, may the Lord help us to receive and experience that glory. I'm going to pray. By the way, I'm going to leave it here. So time gone already. Father, I thank you for, we've looked at all the various appearances of glory and glory and glory of the Lord. It was Jesus when he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. Eyes were full of fire, you know, and for his brass, I mean, his feet like burning brass, his voice like thunders, the glory of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you help us to experience this glory. That's the reason why you showed yourself in this way. And show us what it might be. Teach us what it might be. And help us, O Lord, to have a heart that is willing to know the word of the Lord and to keep it, that we may experience your presence. For he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And I will love it. My Father and I come, make our abode with such a one. Father, we thank you. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. This glory that you promised will fill the earth. Let it begin to fill our hearts even today. Let the knowledge of the glory of God be made known unto us. We begin to understand that it is all these things are the glory of God. To receive salvation is the glory of God. Forgiveness of sin towards man is the glory of God. Miracles, signs, and wonders is the glory of God. And physically, the glory of God to be our protection as well. I thank you, Lord, for all of these things. We give you glory and praise for understanding. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.